Good evening, dear ones, and welcome to our Wednesday evening church service on this 27th day of December, 2017. Almost to the end of the year. And welcome to those on the phone, listening to the recording as well. And glad to be in fellowship with you. Got an announcement to make before we enter into our service. This coming Sabbath, the 30th of December, we're going to be having foot washing and communion. So please come prepared to participate in that sacred service. Our opening song is Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me. And soon with the saints made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child and forever I am. It's time for opening prayer, and may we please bow our heads and knees. Heavenly Father, thank You so very much for being in control of all things, for Thy merciful kindness and tender love and overruling providence. Thank You for Thy many and wonderful blessings throughout this past year and for the promise of Your continued interest in our lives and welfare in this new coming year. Especially continue to speed and spread the truth like wildfire. And thank You for awaking us out of darkness to the marvelous light of truth and for bringing us out of Babylon into Thy kingdom of righteousness. Please be with us tonight. We invite the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit as well, and please help us to understand the truth more clearly. And please, Spirit, open our hearts to receive it, that it may become a part of our very lives. Continue to speed and spread Thy truth around the world. And thank You that we're a day closer to heaven. Be with all of those who have asked for prayers. Please hear and answer their petitions according to thy perfect will. And thank you so much for being our Godhead. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. We're in Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And the last thing that we were discussing was that Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, had decided that they wanted to be able to live by the church supporting them, but they also wanted to have some money set aside. And the only way that they could do both was to lead the church to believe that they had given everything to the church, but they actually agreed to keep back a certain part for themselves and not let anyone know about it. And because of that deception being practiced, both of their probation closed, and God ceased to give them the blessing of life. So they forfeited everything just because they wanted to keep some money back for themselves, but yet still want to live off of the church supporting them. And those people that saw what had taken place or heard what had occurred became very fearful to do anything in any way that dealt with deception or dealt with dishonesty in regards to God's church and people. So it had a very sobering effect, and individuals recognized that this was indeed the church of the living God, and if you did anything in any way against God or his people, that you'd have to suffer the consequences, and sometimes immediate consequences, like with Ananias and Sapphira. So it actually had a beneficial effect on the church, because it forced individuals to have to choose to either be 100% for God or to leave the church. You couldn't have both. You couldn't cling to the world and to God at the same time. It was one or the other. And so all of those professors of religion got out of the church because they didn't want to lose their life through dishonesty. And only those remained who were truly converted to the Lord. And you can imagine if the same type of immediate consequences to dishonesty in God's church would be immediately punished, then there'd be the same exodus of half-converted individuals, and only those that would remain would be fully converted. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by overshadow some of them, or might overshadow some of them. So when God's church became purified from deceivers, from the half-converted, And when they were all with one accord, in other words, one in agreement, one in unity, then miracles and signs were done by the apostles. Individuals were healed. Even just the shadow of Peter going by brought healing relief to those that needed to be restored back to health. And there was nothing in Peter. It was all in the name of the Lord and faith in Jesus Christ that brought the healing. So even though there was an exodus of the unconverted out of the church, the Lord brought more converted back into the church. So there was both. Question that says, are there wheat and tares in God's church? And the answer is yes. A wheat can also be likened to a wise virgin. A tare can also be likened to a foolish virgin. And when the church group gets to the point that they're made up of wheat and tares, or that they're made up of wise and foolish, it shows you that that particular church group is not the true church of God. Because in the 10 virgin parable, the bridegroom, along with the bride, passed by the place where the virgins were and gave them a call saying, the bridegroom's not there. He's passed by, and this is your last chance to join with him and the bridal party. So then that means that if your group is made up of wheat and tares, if they're made up of wise and foolish, then there's a separation that has to take place in order to join Christ. And not be passed by. So then who make up the wheat? Who make up the wise? They slumbered and slept until it was the very last point in time in which they could connect themselves with the Savior. The wise, the wheat, represent those that have the Word of God in their heart, but they fell asleep. In other words, they lost their first love, and they needed to regain it. Regain him back in their lives. And they went directly to Christ, left their group in order to find him. And they found him and were saved at the very last moment in time. Reminds me of the group of Christians still in Jerusalem, all the way up to the very last moment in time that they might possibly be there and still be saved. And there had been many calls to separate. Christ had given calls to separate to him. But some 30 years afterwards, there were still Christians left in Jerusalem. And then Cestius came with the Roman army, surrounded Jerusalem, and then withdrew unexpectedly in AD 66, and the Christians remembered Christ's message that when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then you know that the desolation thereof is nigh. So flee. This is your last chance to do so. And they did. And those that did not separate in obedience to Christ's command, but remained there in Jerusalem, 3.5 years later, Titus came in and surrounded Jerusalem, and there was no escaping that. And they perished. That's the wise virgins left. The foolish virgins remained. The wheat was harvested out to the threshing floor. The tares remained in the field and were burned. So the Adventist church is made up of wise and foolish. The Catholic church is made up of wise and foolish. Baptist, Nazarene, Episcopal, Presbyterian, all of those Babylonian churches are made up of wise and foolish. The call is going forth to separate from these groups. Don't remain in them. And some individuals will remain there until their very last opportunity, which is when the midnight cry, the second angel's message, or the fourth angel's message reaches them. And if they remain past the converting, convicting power of those messages, they're lost. Just like a million or so Jews that rejected Christ's message to separate, they remained in the church. So it's the same today. There's wheat and tares in God's church. There's wise and foolish in all the churches that profess to be following God. But only the wise leave. Everyone else perishes. And that's why they're called foolish. That's why they're referred to as tares. And who would like to read verses 16 to 18? Those three verses.
Verse 16, verse 17, and verse 18. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. There must be a policeman too.
Thank you, dear brother. So we read in chapter 4 where the priests had brought the disciples in front of the council there and commanded that they not speak in the name of Jesus. And they said, well, you know, which is better, to serve God or serve men? And God has told us to speak these words and we're going to speak them. And there really wasn't anything that they could do about it, because the individual that they had healed was standing right there and they couldn't deny it. So they threatened them and said, don't speak in this name, in the name of Jesus, and let him go. And so here, just a short time later, individuals came out of the cities that they were and came to the apostles because they wanted to be healed. And they wanted to have unclean spirits cast out, and every single one of them that came was healed or made whole in the name of Jesus. And of course, it created a great excitement among the people, and it came to the attention of the priests. And so they sent the temple guards out, arrested the disciples, cast them into prison. And there was great anger because they were preaching in the name of Jesus, and miracles like Jesus performed were occurring. And the people were no longer in favor with the priests, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, because they wanted help. They just did not want doctrine. They wanted relief from their ailments, from their misery, and only Christ, through his people, could provide that for them. And they could not find that in the church. So they were going to the apostles and leaving the priests and the Pharisees behind. And of course, that made the church leaders upset. And so now the disciples are in prison. And with them in prison, individuals were not being healed. People were not being helped. God's church was in danger. So then what happened?
And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by the night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple, the people, all the words of this life. Amen.
Amen, and thank you, brother. So here, the apostate priests thought to curtail the missionary work of the apostles, thought to bring to a standstill the healing benefit that was occurring among the people, and so put the church leaders in prison. But God's in control of his work. And if he still has a work to do for the leaders in his movement, then he's going to overrule any of the actions of the apostate leaders, the apostate churches, the corrupt government. He's going to overrule all their efforts, and he's going to set his people free to continue their work. So they may have put him in the deepest, darkest part of that prison. And yet, it was as if they weren't locked up at all. Because God sent his angel, who very easily opened the doors and allowed the apostles to go forth without anybody knowing that they'd been set free. It was like the prison guards were blinded to the effect. Just like the people that wanted to hurt Lot and his family were blinded by the angels that were there. And thus Lot and his family were able to escape. Same with the apostles. Only the command of the angel was not to flee for your lives like it was to Lot and family, but it was to go and speak in the temple all the words of life to the people. And I imagine to continue healing those who needed help. So men wanted to put him in prison to shut him up. God wanted him to continue to speak, so let him out of prison. But they weren't told to flee or hide. They were told to boldly preach the truth in the temple. There were the salvation of souls at stake. So if you had been set free from prison, would you go and preach in an auditorium right next door to the jail that you were set free from? I mean, wouldn't you be endangering your life when it was discovered that you're no longer in prison? You've broken out of prison. You're an escapee. So that's basically what the angel told the disciples to do. You know, I'm setting you free. Go and preach the word of life. And go do it in the temple. Which was really close to the common prison. So what did the disciples do? Did they fear for their lives? Were they more concerned about their safety than they were the cause of God, the salvation of souls? Amen. Yeah, the difference between them and Lot was that Lot was told to flee for his life because judgment was going to fall. But here, they were commanded to go and stand in the temple and preach the truth. The issue was whether they would obey. Lot's wife, even though she left, only half-hearted obeyed. Her heart was there with Sodom, and she was destroyed along with it. So what did the apostles do? We'll find out next time. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions, anything else that you'd like to share before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please go right ahead.
Yes, good evening, everyone, and good morning, Brother Whittington. I'd just like to thank everybody who has persisted in this chat room. Thank you for standing as we come to the close of this year. I'd also like to bring to your attention great thanks to all of you who have stood with us throughout the year. I also would like to let you know that we had our closing meetings. One was in Emasul and one was in Usika. Usika was a crusade. Emasul was a camp meeting. We were not able to attend all of them, but we divided ourselves. Kenneth had to go to Kenya. I was in Busika. And these meetings were a blessing to all of us and many of the people who turned up. We managed to have in Emasul 8 people baptized, and in Busika 6 people baptized. That was great to many of us. So we pray that you continue to be with us, especially those who put in their monies to have printed materials out for the worker in Africa. Thank you. We pray for your support towards the worker in Africa, because they really need your efforts. Thank you so much. I wish you a brighter new year. God bless.
Amen, and praise God indeed that there's been baptisms taking place, and many more have received the word of life into their hearts from coming to the meetings. And we'll keep them all in prayer that indeed the seeds of truth will take root and will grow and will bring conversion to their hearts and a new child in the image of God. So thank you, dear brother, for that good report and testimony. Are there any other testimonies, any requests for prayers, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
Good evening that side and good morning in Africa. I want to appreciate and praise the Lord for the support that you, brethren, have been sending in Africa, specifically in Zambia. Many souls are receiving these truths, and I appreciate the support that is coming for the reprinting of our tracts and booklets from Let There Be Light Ministries, which are on higher demand. I think Elder Bob would bear me witness and give a testimony about letters that he's receiving from Africa, specifically in Zambia, requesting for more booklets, because as we distribute them, many people are happy to read and getting the truths, and they are getting the message that is giving them the true message, and they are happy, and more calls are coming in different areas where these booklets and silent preachers are going round. Brother Dickey, may the Lord bless you with your house, for your full support that you have been giving and that you are still giving. And for all those that are willing to do the same, please, we appreciate and praise the Lord. Kindly continue praying for us, more specifically Brother Eddie and myself, for this work that we have taken, because it's a very serious work, although we are receiving a lot of attacks from the SDHH because of the materials which has the separation message, and many people are questioning their readers, and they are coming into our home churches, and the home churches are expanding in many areas. May the Lord bless you, and we will wait and pray and continue to hear from you and from your support. Lastly, but not the least, I also want to make an emphasis and pray with the Lord that in the coming year, those who may manage by God's blessings to support us and help us have a good second-hand car that would help us to distribute these tracts and visit many areas using this car. Please, those who may help us, may the Lord bless you so that we can have this good second-hand car so that it can help us in our work. Many other areas that have been opened, but we have limited ways of movements because we have to use hired transport, which is very expensive. May the Lord bless you so that you see our need and support it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, dear brother, and praise God for the work continuing forward there, and more souls are being brought in connection with the truth and Jesus and in fellowship with others of like faith. And we'll indeed keep the needs and requests in prayer, and may the Lord's will be done. And it would be wonderful to have a car for transportation there. And Lord willing, it will take place. Are there any other requests, any other prayers, testimonies, thoughts, or questions before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please go right ahead.
Yes, there has been a very wonderful reading tonight. Now, my question is, we've been having many controversies over God does not kill. Could this truly explain that when men anger God to the destruction of his work, like Ananias and Sapphira, it could bring an ultimate penalty, which is death, and be attributed to God kills?
It's interesting here. What I see taking place is you have the apostles being like a independent ministry, but of a completely different church. They still profess to be Jews, but they're not connected with the Jewish church system. And then you have the church leaders themselves, the Jewish church leaders, trying to manifest authority over their one-time brethren by trying to prevent them from going forth and preaching without receiving their permission first. And we have that same type of problem occurring here. You have individuals that want to try and control the entire work and not allow anyone to do anything on an independent basis without their approval. So in other words, they want you to be part of their system And if you don't come underneath their authority, then they try to do everything they can to destroy you or to keep you from being able to function apart from their system. And even in the independent ranks, the same type of control is being manifested. And many of us here have seen it firsthand. If you don't abide underneath our particular authority, well, you can't call yourself a Seventh-day Remnant. And we know good and well that God's people will follow him and come underneath his authority, the authority of truth, and will break all shackles of coming under the authority of a single man, another pope, if you will, or another organization that has no connection whatsoever with present truth in reality, not just in name. So we see the same type of organizational authority occurring here with the apostles. If you don't abide by our authority, we're not going to let you preach in the name of Jesus. In fact, we don't want you to preach in that name at all. And if you do not follow our commands, then we're going to call upon the state to imprison you, which is what occurred. So we see a uniting of church and state together in order to try and keep the message of truth in Christ from going forth. And we also see that God just completely overruled the church and state union and allowed his messengers to go free from jail. And it wasn't to save their lives. It was to save the lives of others by preaching the message of salvation. So hopefully that answered your question, dear brother. If not, please re-ask it, or if you have some comments or a follow-up question, please go right ahead. Amen. Praise God, dear sister. That was a miracle indeed to not have a car and pray about it for so long, and then God moved upon the heart of an individual to buy you one. Amen. Praise God indeed. Well, let's go ahead and bow our heads and open it up for a season of prayer. And whoever would like to pray, please feel free, and I'll go ahead and start. Let us please kneel before the Lord. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you that you're in control of your great work on a worldwide basis, and that it will indeed accomplish the purpose for which you have sent forth the truth, and that is to bring souls to Jesus, to be converted to the truth, and to have eternal life if faithful to the end. Please continue to speed and spread the messengers of truth around the world on their way. Deliver them, encourage them, strengthen them, and empower them with thy Spirit, that the words of life that are spoken or the silent messengers that are given may indeed reach the hearts and bring about conversion to Jesus Christ. Not to any church, not to any group, but to Jesus Christ for salvation. And thank you so much for doing so. Be with all of those who have heard the truth in Africa and other places where meetings have been held. And please prevent the devil from snatching away the seeds of truth. And let them have good heart soil so that the seeds will be planted deep to be watered and nourished and sprout at the proper time and indeed bring a soul from Babylon to the kingdom of righteousness. Be with the requests and petitions. Please hear and answer these according to thy perfect will, and give patience as well as contentment in whatever answer you give, and however long it may take for that answer to be realized. And thank you, Father, so much that we're one day closer to getting off of this wicked world. Please continue to lead and guide us upward, and if we've lost our first love, help us to regain him. For we do not want to be a foolish virgin or a tare. We want to be among the bridal party, connected with the Savior. But if you see that we have indeed become a virgin or a grain, then please let us wake up and determine to follow the Lord whithersoever he leads us. For we do not want to be lost, especially so late in the night, almost midnight. So please help us to be earnest with our salvation, to be anxious to make sure that we are in the faith, and let us examine ourselves to make sure and not just take it for granted. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we have been able to hasten out of here. As we come to the table, we are very grateful and appreciate you. Whatever good things you have brought among us, Lord, we commit our lives before you. We pray that we implore the Holy Spirit to come and work among us, that we may start new year with wider plan, which you yourself have been planning. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit always be our teacher and guide in whatever we plan to do. Loving Father, we thank you that we have stood with you in the truth. May that truth be reflected in us, so that we may bear more and more. That many may come to the light. Loving Father, we know that we are in the very last days of this Assisi story. But Lord, many evil things are happening, but you are able to stand with us and we are able to go through. Continue. Let us pass, see the right path that we may move in. We pray that we may be glad in that Christ. Be sprinkled unto us and be cleansed, be fitted to the heavenly kingdom. Lord, in a special way, we put this work, especially the work online, this church room. We pray that, Lord, you may raise up many more people joining, lead us, help us in whatever we read, so that we may be a special vessel which will pass whatever we learn together as one word. Church as that. So this is a sign to show that one day we shall be together, listening from one master. So we continue to be our one master, who leads us and empowers us to do everything according to thy will. Lord, we know there are many demands everywhere in the world. But in a special way, we commit the work in Africa, where a lot of ignorance, literacy is, and yet the most precious truth is put in print, and probably online, internet, where our people cannot access, and many of them cannot read. Lord, who stand with you to explain these guys, Lord, touch them, explain the way, to put them right to save mankind. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Make a bigger opening for us of us in all our petitions, in our work, so that they may know that you are a loving God. When we pray, you listen and answer our prayers. May all these miracles be wrought among us.
And amen. Amen. Looks like we lost our dear brother. Connection kicked out on him, and he hasn't come back. But amen. Praise God that he's in control of his work, and that we're one day closer to having it all completed and this great controversy wind up and close. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Are there any other thoughts, comments, testimonies, any songs that you'd like to sing or requests? Please go right ahead. Even though the disciples were in prison, God took care of them and set them free. And we'll find out how the Lord continued to take care of his people as we continue in the book of Acts. But that thought brought up a hymn, God Will Take Care of You. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. and praise his holy name, that he does indeed take care of his children. What a faithful God we have the privilege to serve and to love. Well, dear ones, is there anything else you'd like? May God bless, dear ones. Keep looking up. Keep watching. Keep praying. Keep active in sharing your faith and living it. And don't worry about the future. God will take care of you, even if you find yourself being persecuted for your faith. God's in control. So may God bless one and all, and looking forward to fellowshipping with you in a couple days. And hoping to see you then. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. Round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. The book of Psalms 34:7. So keep looking up, dear ones.